everyone. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up. Ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 94 is on its way. Dice Tower Con 2018. Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host for this episode, The Brant, and with me is...
Kathy, your co-host.
Awesome! And we are here to tell you about all things Florida, Dice Tower Con, etc., and whatnot. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and for more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at Portal Gaming 60. Hey, we're also a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal. Nice. Here we go. I did not expect this summer to be this busy, Kath.
I did not either.
I don't even remember that school ended. We just jumped right in.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
I don't even think I had a day off.
Yeah.
I think I finished school and packed up things and said bye to people. And then, like, the next day we jumped into doing things and we've just been go, go, go. And I don't know that we have a day of sitting around coming up.
Not much.
Of course, you're working, what, 4 jobs?
Give or take.
Yeah, so I shouldn't be talking about all that and whatnot. Hey, we're going to pay homage to the Geek All-Stars podcast. So what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Chianti.
Nice.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Blue Moon Pacific Apricot Wheat.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's really quite good. So I've been excited. I actually remember when I picked these up and the guy was like, oh, are you sure you want the variety pack? And I was like, what? He's like, well, somebody returned the variety pack for the regular. And I'm like, why would I not want the variety pack?
Weird.
Who wants the same thing over and over? So... we don't really talk about alcohol on this, so we're going to move on.
All right.
A little homage. We're going to pay some more homage, because we're going to do a little Our Life. This is Our Life at the end of the episode. So if you're not interested in hearing about Disney World, you can skip the end of the podcast, because a la Rado and Jen, we're going to talk about non-board game-related stuff at the end of the podcast. So yeah. We'll talk about Dice Tower Con and all those things. Then we've got interviews with Kurt Covert from... Smirk and Dagger, and now Smirk and Laughter as well, with the Stephen Bonacor, the Podfather from Stronghold Games, and with Tony from Arcane Wonder. So we'll have those three from Dice Tower Con that I talked to. There were a lot of other people I talked to, but those are the ones that I did recordings of, because frankly it was a lot of talking, and then finally deciding, hey, we should record something, and that was a little bit after I talked to a lot of people. So, but then after that we'll come back and Kath and I will talk about Disney World, because it was your first time there.
It was my first time at Disney World,
so
this is true.
Yeah, we'll do that at the end. So let's jump in. So we flew down on July 4th. There was nobody in the Hartford airport that day. So if you want to fly and not be bothered, hey, fly at noon on July 4th in America.
Yeah.
Out of Hartford.
It was easy.
And boom. So pretty good. Zephyr's first time on an airplane. She did well.
She handled it very well.
A little bit of issues with the ears, but anyway, that doesn't really matter for people. And then we landed, got a car, and had to get food. And it was like, yeah, we'll just stop anywhere. And then it was like, oh, things aren't open on July 4th in
this
the evening.
True.
So, but we ate at a Panera Bread, and that was good. And then I was really excited for you guys to see Dice Tower Con.
Yep.
And so rather than just drop me off, you appeased me and came in.
That's true.
And we got our badges and saw everything. They switched a couple things up, which I think were for the better. They moved the vendor hall to, like, one area. They made the whole room a gaming hall, and then the library was in a separate spot, which I thought was really good. Like, to be able to walk in the library and grab stuff, I thought made it a lot simpler. It was tough that it was, like, a, let's not call it a far walk, but it was a walk to go to the library. But that was probably smarter, too.
People need a walk between games.
Yeah, you know, you can't just sit all day, and in terms of all that, so... we did that. We didn't actually really play any games Wednesday because then we got ourselves situated where we were staying with some friends in the area. So we did play a little more Oh My Goods that night, but that doesn't... The Longsdale and Revolt, but we'll talk about that in the future, so...
Yep.
All right. I got up. Zephyr and I went to the convention early Thursday morning. We played My Little Side, which is a kid's version. It's a My Little Pony... I guess it's not actually My Little Pony-based, but the print and play was My Little Pony-based on Side, and it's like a kid's version. Totally fun game. Zephyr liked it. She didn't seem gaga. But definitely was a kid's game. Like, I think that's the key thing that I found from this game. The production is awesome. I think I was pretty glad to find it. It sounds like it's going to retail for $40, which sounds good to me. I was afraid if it was $50 or $60 with all the components that it would start to be like, oh no. Maybe it's going to be $50. I'm not sure. It might not be too bad. But it's a pretty simplified version. Like, you're not really playing Side. Like, you are, because there's similar things, but... Certainly a lot of the things that are gamified in Scythe are not in this, so that was cool. And then Zeph and I played Meeple Circus, which when we later came back to get you, Kathy was also working in the area, so I think that's important to realize, like, she was, yeah, like, all the time she's working, so she had to work while we were down there for these times where she's not present. So we all played Meeple Circus, and I think it was two thumbs up.
Yeah. It was really fun.
So much so, I bought it when we got home.
That's true.
So, Meeple Circus is a, like, dexterity-based meeple stacking game with animals and balls and boards and acrobats and, yeah, everything.
It's definitely a game that feels like it'll be different every time you play it. Mm-hmm. There's lots of components and there's lots of different cards, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's not so silly that you don't want to try to score the points and you just want to try to stack as high as possible. But it's not so serious that just trying to make some crazy stack and then have it all fall over is gut-wrenching.
Right.
So you can definitely go for the, like, I'm just going to try to get these red acrobats as high as possible. Or, like, well, I'm just going to straight up score those cards and get the most points.
Yep.
And that's fine, too. You can be a little strategic or whatnot. Played some Ticket to Ride New York.
Yep.
It was great. It was Ticket to Ride light.
Yeah, very light.
To me, Ticket to Ride is already light. Zephra fully handles Ticket to Ride with limited... with no difficulties.
Right.
And so I don't understand this game in terms of... Now, it's a smaller footprint, so it comes in kind of like a Cosmos-sized two-player box instead of the full-size Ticket to Ride box. But they also made Ticket to Ride My First Journey. So it's like they already have a kid's version. This is clearly not a kid's version.
Right.
But it's like an introductory adult version.
Or like a... quick, like, between games. It was fast.
It's true. It's like 15 minutes. So it's a filler. It's the same. It's really the same as Ticket to Ride. There's, like, some different scoring mechanisms, but you just...
Not by much.
You have less tickets to complete, and there's less cards.
Yep.
So it goes faster. And you only have, like, 15 taxi cabs or something.
Yeah.
So it goes faster, but it's the same full game.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I definitely see it as a filler, like you were saying, or I guess you could bring it to a restaurant and suddenly you're playing Ticket to Ride, but, like, that can't be a thing. They can't be like, oh, restaurant Ticket to Ride. Like, I don't think that's something people are looking for. So, but there was absolutely nothing wrong with the game. It was great. If you like Ticket to Ride, there's no reason you won't like this unless you'd be annoyed that it was over after 15 minutes.
Yeah. And Zephyr's a fan of New York, so that was fun for her.
It was really fun, given that we've been to New York way too many times.
Yeah.
And we know all those sites, and it was like, oh, look, I can connect this to that. And
yep.
So that was cool. Awesome. Then Thursday night, I played Glory to Rome! With Mike Delisio from Solo Mode Games and Matt Jude. From This Game is Broken, and yeah, Glory to Rome is excellent. We actually got a chance to play this the next day with a larger group of people.
I got to play that one.
Yeah, Kathy played with us, and Glory to Rome is completely old hat for us, but it's fun to introduce it to new people. And that second, well, the first game was kind of close, and I had a victory, and then they merchanted cards into the vault for the win. The second game, I ran away with.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like
true.
A brutal, what's the, not the architect, what's the other one?
Craftsman.
Craftsman strategy. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cool for people to see, like, that's how powerful it can be.
Yep.
That game is interesting. But then Thursday night were Dice Tower Awards, and we sat right behind Isaac Childress as he cemented his path back and forth to the stage for 5 Dice Tower Awards, which we have no problem with. Gloomhaven is our favorite game to play together, so
yeah.
We're down. In fact, we're going away a little bit for our 10-year anniversary.
That's true.
And Gloomhaven is on the checklist to be played, I'm sure. Well, I'd love to retire my character, which is a funny thing. I think I'm 5 away or 4 away, so it'd be cool if we sneak 1 or 2 in here in the next couple weeks, and then when we're away, play 2 or 3, and I can move on to a new character, because I'm excited to do that. I like my character. My character's growing on me since I wasn't as big of a fan initially. Still love the game, whether the characters are good or bad. They're never good or bad. They're like cool to amazing. That's how the characters are. So this character is just cool, moving towards amazing, but always excited for a new one. So yeah, so that was the Dice Tower Awards. That was fun to be part of the nominations and then see where that all went. There was a couple flip-flops. So I really thought I knew a lot of information and was like, oh, this one ran away during nominations and was 40 votes ahead. And then it didn't win the award after that.
Wow.
I'm not calling any shenanigans. I'm not saying any people just, probably people nominated one way and didn't really look back at how they nominated and then just rethought and something was fresh on their brain. I'm totally cool with whatever. But it was interesting. I was like, I could like whisper to you which one I thought was going to win and then it would be something different. I was like, that's interesting. So that's good to know. So there's that. And then afterward, we did some karaoke.
We did do karaoke.
That was pretty fun. I've never done room karaoke. Have you done that before?
No, I have not. I felt like it was more intimidating in a private room.
Gotcha.
In an open setting.
And I loved it because everybody would like sing along and I wanted people to just have fun
that
and
was
sing
fun.
Along. So, but that, yeah, that was pretty classic and exciting and whatnot. So a whole bunch of Dice Tower peeps. Yeah. We won't do any name drops because it doesn't matter. And whatnot.
It was fun.
So, it was a lot of people from the Name That Dice Tower contributor game though, from the last episode. There was a lot of people from there that might've been in that room. So, but yeah, that was a cool thing to do. It was fun just to not be doing board games, but having fun with people. So it felt more like adult summer camp.
Yeah.
All right. Then Friday I got up. We were staying with friends who had some kids. They were hanging around. So Zephyr stuck around with you while you were doing some work and things at the house. And I took off early. I played Reef with friend of the podcast, Josh, neighbor Josh.
Because
he literally used to be our neighbor. He's not our neighbor anymore, but he was at one point. So we played Reef. From Emerson Matsuchi and Plan B Games, and it was a solid game. It is another introductory gateway-style game. Love it, but you could, if I was gifting somebody or teaching somebody for the first time, I'd play Reef, I'd play Splendor, I'd play Century Spice Road, I'd play any of these entry-style games, you know, one from the other, I can't necessarily, so that's not really a negative thing. Ticket to Ride, I love all these games as entry level, but it's like kind of another one of these abstract, Azul, introductory, gateway, whatever style games. So
yeah.
For our collection, I don't know that it's anything that we need here. We have other ones to introduce with people, but
yep.
I can totally see people loving this game. Then I got to play my game of the con, which was Coimbra, which is from Eggertspiel and Plan B Games. And this is a dice drafting mid-weight Euro. Kathy, you would love this game. Remember Lorenzo Il Magnifico?
Yes.
Okay, same designers.
Yep.
Exact same weight style, etc.
Yep.
I can't say that I like it better than Lorenzo because that's the classic, like, this one's newer, so it's shinier and better.
Yep.
But I think I liked this one better than Lorenzo.
Nice.
So I'm really excited to get my hands on this at Gen Con and play this game. Because it'll be a perfect Gen Con game because we snag it. I know you're not going to be at Gen Con.
I will not.
But I already know how to play the game. It's one of those games like I can't forget how to play. see podcast in 1 month when we talk about how I forgot the rules on this game. But yeah, it was really simple but really interesting choices. It wasn't simple. It was medium weight. It was heavier than Castle of Burgundy.
Yeah.
But that was my game of the con.
Cool.
Then we came back later and we played Chronicles of Crime. We got to try that from Lucky Duck Games.
Yep.
And that was cool. It was like an app-driven crime solving, I guess, kind of like, not really an escape room. It was really just like a crime solving game.
Right.
It was a little point and clicky.
Yeah, it was funny because I was the one who had the phone, which we needed to scan barcodes and such for the app to work. And it felt like I had too much control. Like, everyone else was just...
Yeah.
Kind of along.
Oh, do this. Oh, you already did that. Too late.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be neat if somehow they could get an app where, like, all four people are in the same thing.
Yeah, maybe. That might be too much.
Yeah. And especially because time was an element. So, anyway, the game was... It was neat, and I would totally be interested in, and they were saying that the second mission is, like, so much deeper than the first.
Right.
We were playing an introductory mission. We were not given some rules. I am not upset about that with a demo. I do not care when you are demoing to me. He taught the game in 5 minutes, and then was like, here, just go search and figure out.
Yeah.
And I'm totally down with
that. And that was fun.
I could see other people being annoyed. Totally fine.
And we passed at the end. We totally figured it out, but...
Without getting all the information.
It was by accident. Mm-hmm. And we just had good guesses, I guess. But, yeah, we definitely did not have all the information we technically needed.
Yeah. But, yeah. No,
but
that
it was fun.
That was cool. And actually, that reminds me the day before, I don't have all the games in my app, so I'm trying to remember. But Zeph and I also played Jetpack Joyride, which was really cool. The theme is, you have all stolen jetpacks from a jetpack manufacturer, and now you are taking it out for a joyride. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about how silly this game is. And you have to collect coins, of course, and lay polyominoes. They're all five, so I want to say what they are exactly, but quintominoes, I guess. They're five squared dominoes. All sorts of patterns, and you have to, like, not hit the ceiling and run into things, and there's all sorts of missions, and it was really silly, and it was kind of like a speed slash strategy game, because there's definitely a speed element, but if you go too fast, you'll bump into stuff.
Yep.
And the guy that demoed to us was wonderful with Zephra. Like,
oh, nice.
He engaged her on a high level, so
awesome.
That was awesome. So Lucky Duck really did a good job on that front. Then we played the game... That is going to be most interesting to talk about, I think. Well, some sense. Thanos Rising.
It was so fun.
Avengers Infinity War. This game, I'll just straight up review it right now. Like,
yeah.
I said, the others weren't reviews. This game has no right to be fun. Like, if I start explaining the mechanisms, probably from a Euro... I'm an Omni gamer, but from a little bit more favoring of Euro. Like, it is just... Roll dice, and then dumb things happen, and then roll dice to try to chance good things happening.
Yeah.
And if you fail, you get nothing. And it has a Marvel theme, and it's amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, the Marvel theme makes the game so good. You want to get, like, it is like your heart's desire to see Groot and Rocket come together. Like,
it's true.
And mechanically they go together. Where it did get a little bit interesting was when we realized, okay, so in the game you have to, like, not have seven of your heroes knocked out, and you have to knock out seven of Thanos villains or whatever, you know, henchmen.
Yep.
And we realized, oh, when you damage a henchman, you get these little tiles that mitigate a little bit of luck.
Right.
And so suddenly there was dice mitigation. But otherwise... Nothing. And even, like, my starting power was like, hey, if you roll all power, like, six power on four dice, because there were two sides, there were sides that were, like, two, then you get a bonus, which was, like, it happened to me once the whole game. I was like, hey, that happened. So it is just a dice chuck fest, but man, do you see the fun of dice in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, for all the games where people don't like dice, Man, Dice in 30 minutes with the right IP. I mean, Marvel is so hot. Marvel is hotter than Star Wars right now, right?
It is, yeah.
It's bigger than Star Wars right now. Man, you throw that IP on there and those characters come up. And, oh, what's their special ability? Oh, I want to collect that. I mean, people were just collecting the people they wanted to. So anyway, we were losing horribly, and a group was like, oh, can we jump? We're like, yeah, we're 5 minutes from finishing. And suddenly we came back to win, and we're all high-fiving and so excited. I guess the last turn was like, oh, Josh, all you need to do is roll this, and I have it. So there's a little bit. But your turn and my turn prior realizing that were plenty fun. If you don't have to roll the dice on the last turn, it's not a big deal. So.
Right.
Yeah, that was really fun.
It was.
$50 price tag on that game is tricky.
It is.
It's tricky. This is funny, right?
From I blame retail. Thanos.
Yeah, he's huge. From a retail store, it's a funny thing, but, you know, I want to tell people how it is. That's what the game is, so, you know, you're going to have to decide, but it's fun.
It is fun.
You will have fun with this game, and if you have a bunch of Marvel fans that you play games with, like, man, if we brought this to our church...
Yeah.
Like a church event, this game would just never be stopped playing.
Right.
Kids would play this game, adults would play this game. This game would be, if I did a 4-hour event at the church, this game would be played nonstop.
Yeah.
And it would be worth $50 right there.
Yeah.
So, that's that. Cool. Yeah, we played more Glory to Rome. Then Friday night was the Jack Fast Memorial Auction. So just a couple quick notes there. There were really cool moments. People heard about a lot of them. Our train that we put in, that we fit in our luggage, which is totally cool. We're not upset. That was fine. It was fun to do. But the train sold for $180, and the person that bought it gave it right back to Vassal. So that was really fun.
That's pretty cool.
Because he's been to the store and has seen the train layout and had commented on it, so we thought it'd be fun to donate a train, and that was neat. And then I was sitting next to Derek from Danny and Derek Do Games, and he had painted a piece of art, and the thing just shot through the roof. $750
somebody paid.
And it was just so cool. Like, I don't know. It's a weird, my proximity to this person. But it was cool because I was sitting there talking to him, and then all of a sudden, there was just this silent awe of, like, you've done something here, right?
Yeah,
That your heart for this event has resulted in, like, a monetary gain for good.
Right.
That was just really neat. So that was a cool moment. There was also the case that went to JR, who traveled around with Fireball Island, and that was a cool moment, too. So, yeah, that was really neat. Okay, Saturday we brought Zephron. We demoed a whole bunch in the demo hall.
Yeah.
So the game I have down here is Memoir. And we played that, and it was excellent.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's like a memory-style game, and we have a copy. So I'm hoping Zephyr will do a review here. Zephyr's been so busy. And then I just haven't had time to stop and get her to do a review because we've not been around. So
it's true.
All that. But yeah, so this was like a memory style game, but it was like you just flip one card and then you have to flip something that matches what the previous person flipped.
Yeah.
But as the game goes on, you should technically remember more on the board, but then there's special powers on all the animals that are on the cards.
Right. And there's multiple cards that would match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a one-to-one thing.
Good call.
It's like a chain of cards that you're trying to continue.
Yeah, so solid family game. Super fun.
Yep.
That was good. Then we got a chance to play Nimble.
Mm-hmm.
And Nimble reminded me of Blink. You're like trying to match symbols, and there were pictures, like there was stories. It was like Pinocchio, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't get anything with story.
There's no story in the game. And you're just trying to match colors as fast as you can and not make mistakes. So it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was fine.
Moving on. What else did we get to demo? Because I don't have things written down here. Do you remember where else we played with her in the hall?
With Zephra?
Muse, right?
Muse.
Muse was good.
Yep.
Muse is a party-style game. Dixit, cards.
Yep.
Which is, like, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Dixit and Mysterium.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're trying to give like a rule and a card to the other team, and then they have to come up with a clue for their team.
Right.
Shuffle a bunch of cards, kind of Dixit style, and have to pick it out. So it's kind of got that Dixit and Teams feel.
Yeah.
Dixit Teams is actually a pretty good way to describe that game.
Yeah, not bad.
There's a rule that's different, so you can't just say whatever you want. But Dixit Teams is pretty good shortcut. Yeah. So we picked up a copy of that. That was fun, and I feel like we played some other things, but I don't remember. In the hall. We saw a lot and people talked to her.
Sephra and I did a like tic-tac-toe game where you could, I can't remember what it's called, but she really enjoyed it. It was fun. So there were kind of like Russian dolls. There was a tiny size and then a medium and a bigger one, and you could stack them on top of each other and almost swallow them up. So it was a tic-tac-toe, but you could move your pieces around a little more. That was really fun, actually. I wish I remember what it was called.
Cool.
It's less than helpful.
All right. Then we played... I played Metro X with a whole bunch of people. I didn't actually put everybody down. I won. So obviously I like the game. Metro X is a roll and write. It's technically a flip and write because it's a deck of cards, but I think we're putting those in the same category. It was super clever. So roll and write is a funny category where I'm like, okay, there are so many roll and writes, and unlike escape rooms, I'm excited about basically every escape room in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are okay, and I always get frustrated when I play them, but I enjoy them overall. roll and writes are just like, I don't need to play another roll and write, but if people are playing them, I jump in, and I always enjoy them. So there is that interesting part.
Yeah.
So Metro X was a cool, like, Tokyo train stations or subway stations, and it just had a lot of very clever strategic and luck-based decisions. I definitely won based on luck. The last card, I needed a certain... Like, the second last card, I needed a certain flip, and the last card, and they both came up.
Oh, wow.
So, that was excellent. And then I think the last game we're going to talk about here is Paper Tales. We picked up Paper Tales and the expansion from Stronghold Games. Paper Tales is a card drafting storytelling game. It would say it's a storytelling game, but it's not a storytelling. You don't tell an actual story with your cards. You score points. But you put cards into your tableau, and your tableau is called your story. So in that sense, you're doing that. That sounds really basic in terms of like, oh, it's a card drafting game, and then you put cards in your tableau, but it's very clever.
It is.
It's more clever than Seven Wonders.
Yeah.
But it's really somewhat similar. You have the wars with your neighbors. It's simpler in ways, like the wars are a lot simpler, and you don't wait till the end of an age.
Yep.
And whatnot, but yeah. I think I'll do a future review on it full, so I'll let you say what you want to on Paper Tales.
I liked it a lot. I was super tired when we played, and I still really enjoyed it, so that was good.
The art is beautiful.
The art is beautiful. I like the theme.
Yeah.
And
there's theme there.
And there's interesting
You are telling
cards.
A story. Like, you could tell a story.
Oh, totally.
You could say this character does this, and then that character does that. We were probably a little more focused on mechanisms the first time.
Yeah.
In terms of that. So I did later play this after the con solo.
Yeah.
With the expansion, you can play it solo, and you can also play it with up to 7 people, which I did both now. And I played solo, and I was able to win, and I tweeted out, and I think I might be the first solo tweet on this game.
Yeah.
Which was neat, because then people were like, there's a solo mode? And then Steven was like, well, it's coming in the expansion in September. So it was cool to kind of be ahead of the game. I don't need that.
Right.
I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, that's why I'm doing this, and that's the whole point. But it was cool to be like, oh, I think I let the world know something. And that was neat, because that should be a reason to go to something like Dice Tower Con from a media end, right? Like, to let people know about something, so... Cool. Saturday. What did we do Saturday night? We went to This Game Is Broken.
Yes.
Podcast, and it was excellent.
Yes.
It was very entertaining, lots of audience participation and whatnot. We had a lot of fun there. And then we pretty much wrapped it up. We went to the church service the next day.
Yep.
And that was neat. It was cool to kind of see that Christian side of Tom and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was good. And then we shopped a little bit more, looked around the vendor hall, and we were on our way out.
Yeah, we did an escape room that afternoon.
Oh, we did an escape room at the escape company. And it was good. We had one lock that wouldn't open.
Right.
And that's super frustrating.
Yeah.
To not have somebody just be like, oh, you have the right combo. Like, we had to take a hint to find out we were right. And we right. wasted 10 minutes. But overall, some people were saying, oh, they wished it was more thematic. But I thought it was great with the theme.
I thought like, it was very like a Western thematic.
And we were in jail cells and then we were in a bar, like,
yep.
and horses. So, but we haven't, I haven't done a lot of themed ones. I've done some where, you know, there's a little bit of theme, but it's definitely about the puzzles. So this was more theme than what I've seen. But it was fun.
I liked it. It was fun.
And it was 8 people. It probably could have been 6 people.
It's true.
5 people, 4
there
people.
There were 3 people who were not part of our group, so that was all. That was interesting. I don't think I've ever actually done an escape room with strangers.
Mm.
Honestly,
they were not super participatory.
It was a little hard not to steamroll them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're on that timer, it's hard to be like,
what do you think?
Yeah. Let's sit down and have a discussion. What's your favorite flavor of gelato? All right. And that's Dice Tower Con.
Yeah.
Overall.
It was great.
It was amazing. I love Dice Tower Con. I did not play heavy games. I played light games, vendored games. You know, talk to me. Had a blast. Love having you there. So what did you think for kind of your first, like, fly-to convention?
It was good. I felt torn the whole time, to be honest, because I was working when not at the convention. We were staying at a friend's house who has 4 kids, so I always felt a little bit like I need to make sure my kid isn't adding more stress.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to have not felt that tension of feeling like I needed to be in every place at once. But when I was at the convention, it was great and it was really fun and I enjoyed being there. So, yeah.
Cool. All right, that's it. We're going to go do some interviews and then we're going to come back and talk about Disney World. So you can skip the end of the podcast if you don't want to hear about Disney World. Thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you in a bit. All right, howdy everybody here. I'm Dice Tower Con 2018, and I bumped into a couple folks from across the pond. Who have we got here?
It's Matthew Jude.
Hello. And Dan Hughes.
Awesome. Yeah, and we just finished up a little game of Glory to Rome. So I played a couple times with Matt here. Played Dan's first time. Matt, what did you think of Glory to Rome?
I love it, but I don't like. I won't shout. I'm not doing it, but I do love the game.
We do have slightly too much self-respect to be shouting out That's Glory it. To Rome That's at the it. Drop of a hat.
And I shout it all the time loudly, as people who play in the Portal know. Nice, cool, yeah. So that was a fun time. How has your convention been?
Good. I've been a bit anxious, but other than that, it's just a lot of people, man. I suffer with that, but I've absolutely had a great time, I think. Yours is sleep-deprived, I think.
Yeah, I've been incredibly sleep-deprived, so today's the first day I've actually enjoyed myself instead of...
We're a fun team.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
We are super
Good
fun.
Job it didn't cost us a lot of money to get over here.
That's true.
And Matt, we did a little karaoke last night, too. That was kind of crazy.
It was good, and I didn't embarrass myself one bit.
And I absolutely did, and I don't care.
You absolutely did. It was fantastic.
Nice. Awesome. So you guys have a big show coming up because you have a little podcast called This Game is Broken, and you're doing a live show at Dice Tower Con. So what can we expect there?
Kazoos.
Kazoos. There's 250 kazoos. There's a guitar.
There is a guitar.
There's singing.
There will be singing.
There's miming. There's quiz shows. There's it's all sorts. Lots of audience participation. It's a comedy board gaming quiz show. So we'll be asking lots of questions about board games in a kind of very tangential manner.
Yeah, it's like it's lots of questions about board games, but they're not academic questions about board games.
Ah,
they're more pun based mostly. Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically. Awesome. Well, thanks for taking some time with us here, and good luck with your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you're recording.
All right. Howdy, everybody. I am here in the exhibitor hall at the Stronghold Games booth with the self-proclaimed self-proclaimed podfather, Stephen Bonacore of Stronghold Games. How are you, Stephen?
I did not give myself that name, but I do embrace that name, the podfather, yes. Doing great. I'm doing great. This is just a great convention. It's one of my favorite ones of the year, this and Board Game Geek Con. I got that really chill vibe. You just relax. You can hang out at night, play games freely. During the day, we're doing some hard work here of demoing all the new stuff for people. And just great. I mean, if you're going to be in Florida in July, this is the place to be because it's too hot out there, but it's perfect inside.
Now, I have to laugh. I know you've moved to Florida since, but New England, New Jersey area was brutal this last week. It was 111 with the heat index.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. So when we got off the plane, we were like, this is wonderful. But now today, it's definitely cooking out there, so it's nice to be inside.
It got hotter today. I know that, my friends in New Jersey were, you know, again, I was having a last laugh against them because they all thought they were going to be laughing at me in July and August. But it's going to go back to the normal thing. You guys will have a hot time during the summer, but we'll be a little hotter, a little more humid. But
all right, so tell us about what you got here, because this is kind of a cool convention that you're after your Origins releases, but pre your Gen Con releases. Right. So tell us what you've got here.
Yeah, so we're still showing off some of the stuff that just came out in the spring, things like Whoosh Bounty Hunters. This is a cute card game where you're capturing these light monsters, these cute little monsters, and you're getting them out of your village. So you're doing this via reaction. You're turning over cards that have weapons on them, and then when they match the symbols that are on the monster cards in the center, you smack them, and then you get to keep that monster for victory points later on. 2 to 8 players, 1995, a great filler game and a great player count. You know, when you go up to 8 players in the game, it just makes it a lot of fun.
Nice.
Steamrollers came out on May 30th, so it's just a little over a month ago, to big fanfare, and it's just doing great for us. It's Age of Steam, you know, those big, you know, 18XX style games meets a modern roll and write mechanic. And roll and write's the rage right now, so there's a lot of that out there, but this marries all the fun things that you'll do in those Steam, Age of Steam games, like pick them and deliver, create your rail lines, upgrade your trains, doing all of that in 30 to 45 minutes using roll and write type mechanics. So it's on everyone's top 10 roll and writes, which is making me very proud.
Nice.
And of course, no list or no talk should be without me talking about Gold Fever. This is a game Tom Vassell hated. He panned it even before he knew I picked it up. And then I picked it up and I started the hashtag Tom Vassell doesn't like fun. Because this game is pure silly fun. It's not supposed to be serious. It's a silly fun game. I call it a bar game because it's ultimately portable. It's a bunch of like burlap sacks with acrylic crystals in it. And you're trying to draw out of there the gold pieces in a turn-based order, though there could even be a little bit of a real-time element. You can play it at a bar. You can play it at a restaurant. You can play it on the floor waiting on line someplace. You can play it anywhere. Very portable game that is simply a great filler game. It plays 2 to 5 players in 15 minutes. Hashtag Tom Vassell doesn't like fun, but you like fun. You're going to like Gold Fever.
This next one I got to play. I had my daughter over here, and we played some Memoir.
So Memoir was not nominated, but recommended for the Spiel des Jahres. So we can't win. Spiel des Jahres comes out, the winner comes out next week. But we are on that honorable mention list for such a great game without partners out in Germany, edition Spiel Visa. So in Memoir, you're using memory to match either the creatures or the background colors or landscape of the different cards that are coming out. It's simple pattern matching that you have to do, but the memory element makes it such a great family game because kids, and I've seen down to age 5, will beat their parents at this game because they have such better memories than us. And of course, when I play games, I drink beer, and therefore my memory goes immediately. But really cute artwork again. There's an advanced play for slightly older kids. The 5-year-old was playing the full-out game of Memoir, and fantastic filler, great family game.
That was my daughter's favorite game she played today.
Oh,
so
awesome to hear. Excellent.
Nice.
We'll quickly mention Paper Tales, but as you can see, that your viewers can't, there's none here because we sold out of Paper Tales.
Well, it's also my fault. I bought the last copy of Paper Tales you had, so.
Excellent. Paper Tales, a card drafting game, a la Seven Wonders. You're building a fantasy civilization. The really cool, interesting mechanic that is introduced in this game is aging. So you bring out your units, but they're only going to be out for like one turn because its time is going on in the game. So one turn, because they're going to get aging tokens, and if there's an aging token at the end of the turn, that is going to go away. You're going to have to redeploy with new cards that you draft each turn. So that's Paper Tales. It comes out on August 8th. We'll have it at Gen Con. And then the expansion will come out at the end of September. And that's Paper Tales Beyond the Gates. More cards, a single-player mode, and it'll take it up to 7 players as well. 1 to 7 players with the expansion.
Nice.
And the final game is Kitchen Rush. Uh-huh. I keep saying I'm a big fan of the Chef Ramsay shows. You know, he's screaming at all the chefs in the kitchen. Hell's Kitchen. Kitchen Rush is like Hell's Kitchen, the board game, except that Chef Ramsay's not there screaming at you. You all have to cooperate using a worker placement mechanic, timers that you put down on the various locations to do the actions. Like, someone's got to go get the orders from people in the restaurant. Someone's got to go to the pantry and grab food. Somebody's got to cook the food. And you all have to communicate using the sand timers to be your workers. Once the 30 seconds is over, that action's been taken place. You can get the food, or you can get the order, and then you can redeploy your worker. This is 1 to 4 players, plays in 45 to 60 minutes, tough cooperative game. If you like cooperative games and you like them a little tough, a little meat on them, this is a great game for you. That's Kitchen Rush.
Yeah, that game was all the rage. I was at PAX Unplugged. I tried to talk to you, but you wouldn't talk back to me there. Apparently, it was a cardboard cutout of you.
Might have been the cardboard.
But yeah, this game was nonstop being played there. Cool. So really exciting that you brought that out here.
Thank you very much. Yep, it's been a great great year, great summer. Great things happening at Gen Con. Hopefully, we'll see you there, and we can talk some more.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss Gen Con for the world. So awesome. Thank you so much, Stephen, for your time, and we'll definitely check out all your games. For people listening, just so you know, at the portal now, we have Memoir, we have Gold Fever, we have Steamrollers, and we have Whoosh Bounty Hunters all available in retail at this time. So,
that's right.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
Bye. All right, continuing our coverage here at Dice Tower Con 2018, I am here with Kurt Covert from Smirk and Dagger Games, and we're talking about some of the new things you're carrying. So what have you got here, Kurt?
Well, one of the things that has been exploding here at the show is our recent game came out 3 weeks ago. It's called Nuts So Fast, and it is a fast reaction game with these adorable wooden tokens that are really super chunky, and they've got faces of a cashew and a grumpy walnut and a pistachio, and they're adorable to look at, and you want to hold them just when you see them.
Yeah, definitely.
But this game is one of those smash your knuckles together, laugh out loud party games of quick reactions. And anytime someone picks it up to play it, it's just nonstop boisterous laughter and crazy mistakes of doing the wrong thing. There's even some nutty poses you'll strike, like bunny ears and folding your arms, or you know, that kind of thing. So it's funny. It's a little bit like people who are familiar with Jungle Speed. Mm-hmm. It's that same kind of quick reaction game, but it engages you more on like a party atmosphere level than, say, that game does.
Yeah. And it's got that core like spoons mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
Back,
yeah.
But you've added other elements to make it kind of thinky, or I don't know, there's just another layer on top.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and if anybody's wondering, like in terms of family, like I'm staying at a house and they're my daughter plus 4 other kids, and they have just attached themselves to this game. So, yes, it works with kids all the way up through adults, because I've seen tons of adults coming over to play and enjoy it. So it's totally full on in that full range of gamers.
It's wonderful that it has such a broad appeal to so many people. You're right. Kids are going to enjoy it, and I know just as many adults are going to have some lovely beverages and do it at night as well. So
no
it's
doubt.
Great. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So what else have you got around here that you can tell us about?
Well, so we've got our whole line, but quite honestly, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been showcasing stuff that's coming out the balance of the year.
Perfect.
And we're right on the cusp of seeing some new games. So one of those is the second title in my new imprint. Nuts So Fast is actually a Smirk and Laughter title. So people who know me, they know I do backstabby games. But now I'm doing a whole bunch of other emotionally evolving games that are not about backstabbing. So this one is going to bend people's minds who know my company. It's an emotionally rewarding storytelling game like none I've seen before.
Nice.
It's called Before There Were Stars. And in it, you're an ancient lore giver of your people. And you've got these great 12 star-pipped dice that you roll to form the night sky. And then you start scanning the heavens looking for constellations you might see that night. So there are five constellation cards on the table, and as you can see, the dice pips are on the cards. So the owl, you see the two is his eyes, the three is the branch he is actually sitting on, and the six are the feathers of his tail coming down.
Nice.
In any case, you know, if you roll the right dice, you can pull the owl into your story. And the story that we're telling are creation myths. So chapter one is in the beginning. And so how does the owl and maybe poison come together to talk about how the universe actually started? Then you're going to talk about two new cards that you draft, and now it's how do we get here, the dawn of civilization. And then a great hero emerges, and then finally, end of days. Is it going to be doom and gloom? Is it going to be hopeful? You decide. No one takes your story off track. It's yours to own. And the scoring is wonderful in this game. It's not about who is the best presenter. It's not about who told the funniest joke, necessarily. Who had the coolest moment?
Right.
And everyone can have a really great moment as they're telling a story. So it really levels the playing field and allows everyone to really enjoy the game, regardless of their, you know, how good a storyteller, quote unquote. The other thing is that scoring is secret. So you're just kind of like dropping, you know, 2, 3, or 4 points in everyone's offering bag as it goes around. But the most important point is the very last one. Because scoring is secret, we really haven't a chance to, you know, talk about our stories yet. So now, this last bonus point in the appreciation round goes to your favorite moment after you highlight one or two other things that you loved.
Nice.
So at the end of the game, you're sitting here going, wow, I just heard 6 really great stories, and someone told me things that they liked about mine. And so you walk away from the table like, you know what, I wasn't sure I was going to like this, but this was so cool.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this game.
No, I definitely see that. I see, like, the dice rolling mechanism is a vehicle to get you to the storytelling.
Yes,
which
exactly
is really
right.
Cool. Yeah, and then it really becomes about everybody's stories more than who collected the best set or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, it is all about the creativity of people. And even if you feel like, oh, I'm not that, you know, I'm not a super creative person, the thing about telling myth stories is that we all grow up, regardless of what culture we come from, with myths that explain why we're here and why the moon exists the way it does, or, you know, all that kind of thing. So we kind of have a sense for how to tell a myth because it's so part of who we are just as mankind.
Awesome. Yeah. And is this a Gen Con release then?
Yes. So this is going to be for Gen Con and then probably a week and a half after in full retail everywhere.
Perfect. That's my question, being retail store, obviously.
Yeah.
So something mid-August would be retail.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. And that is before there were stars.
That's correct.
Awesome. Well, I hope you're having a great show. I hope everything's going well.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks so much for taking some time to tell us about your games.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, continuing our coverage here at Dice Tower Con 2018. I am at the Arcane Wonders booth with Tony. Tony, tell us how your con's been and what Arcane Wonders is showing off here at the con.
Well, the convention's just been wonderful, Brant. Like, we're sitting here doing Critical Mass, real big and heavy. We've been demoing it at the Hot Games table and also in our booth the whole show. And we just sold out. So I believe the last time I checked, we had 2 copies sitting in at the CSI area left, and that's all we have here until Gen Con. So,
there you go.
So no, it's been great, really well received. People are really liking the heavy, hardcore mech on mech combat of Critical Mass. If you're not familiar with Critical Mass, it has 2 different box sets: Patriot versus Iron Curtain and Ryzen versus Archon. They both MSRP at $25 a piece, and they are coming out. We've been previewing them at Origins and Dice Tower Con, and then we'll also have a pre-release at Gen Con that will follow up with a retail launch afterwards. But in Critical Mass, you're controlling a heavy-duty mech going into battle against your opponent's mech. And the object of the game is simply to destroy the other opponent's armor plates and... by doing so, they're critical components that make the mech blow up. So, you do this by simultaneously playing cards, and as you simultaneously play the cards, you will look at the speeds, and based on the speeds, they will have different effects that trigger weapons deal damage, However, if you both play a weapon and one is faster, the other mech will actually become disrupted and their weapon won't shoot off.
So a little mind game there.
So there's a lot of getting in your opponent's head, engaging what you feel that they are going to be playing next. And then there's also a activation mechanic in the game where you activate cards from a deactivated pile that you add to your hand as you play. So as you are playing and fighting, you start gaining more cards throughout the course of the game.
That's cute. Little engine build.
Yes, absolutely. So that one's one of the big ones that we've been going over. We've also had Senshi going. Senshi just launched for us on 627. It's nice. Been doing really well. Senshi's a 2-4 player abstract strategy game that I'm not going to go into too much here because I'm handing over a copy. Hopefully see you talk definitely. About that in the near future.
Yeah, we'll review that one.
But other than that, we have two Gen Con releases that we've been previewing here at the show. They are Onitama Way of the Wind, which is an expansion for Onitama that adds a wind spirit figure along with 8 additional movement cards. The movement cards are different in the wind spirit for the wind spirit because they are double, they're split and they're double moves. So first you will move your pieces, your master or your students, and then you will move the wind spirit. The wind spirit is a neutral piece that cannot be moved into. And if it moves into a student space, yours or your opponent's, it will swap spaces with them. So it adds another level of
or a mover. Yeah.
So it has a level of additional complexity and really adds a little bit of excitement to the already amazing game.
It's a classic abstract by now. Yeah. If people haven't played Onitama, play it.
Yes. And then the other. One that we're previewing here for the very first time is Good Critters. So I've been just inkling this out just recently. We just got the first copies here in the States that I've been previewing here at Dice Tower Con. And this is the next Dice Tower Essentials game. It is
nice.
Good Critters. You are all critters. And what the game's premise is that you are all going on heists and you are getting a bunch of loot. However, the boss gets to divvy up the loot. And so the boss looks all the loot, divvies it up in any fashion that the boss wants to the different critters in the game, and then you all vote on whether or not you like the distribution that the boss set forth.
Gotcha.
This game was previously launched in a small run in German under the name Tieftaschen, and which translates roughly to deep pockets. It is... We put our treatment on this. We made it mobsters, and it has a little bit of a cartoony
The art type is art. Awesome yeah. looking. It's definitely part of the style as I'm looking at it here. Really, really that film noir, animal crossover, cartoony art. It's really
cute. And we really wanted to make it adaptable. But basically, you divvy up the loot, you vote on it, you bluff, you bribe, you swindle, you rob the other players. All in attempts to have the most loot at the end of the game. Game is played until the fuzz card is revealed.
Gotcha.
And at that point in time, we all skedaddle, and then you count up the loot that you did amass, and that triggers the critter with the most loot wins. So, really, it plays 4-8 players. It's going to be MSRPing right around $25. Previewing it and selling some units at Gen Con. This is a really highly social interactive game.
Yep.
So everyone is constantly going to be going back and forth, bribing, manipulating, trying to make deals with each other to get the most, mostly. So I'm really loving this one.
That'll be perfect for our meetups at the portal Thursday night, that bribing and all that interaction. Absolutely. Those will be a fun one to have around. So.
Yeah, and as soon as I'm able, I'm going to start getting these out to reviewers, so we should start seeing a little bit
more definitely.
Information. So.
Great, awesome. Yeah. Well, continue to have a good con, and thanks for taking some time to talk with us.
You too, thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Hey, bye.
All right, howdy, everybody. Welcome back. Brant here.
And Kathy.
We're going to talk to you about Disney World, because we got a chance to go. So, Zephyr had never been. Kathy had never been.
This is true.
I went when I was 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, and 15, maybe 16 years. I think I was 15. I think I was a freshman in high school. Years old. So, it's been 20-something years since I've been there. So, we'll call it my first time in a long time. So, very much like people talk about with board games, it is impossible for us to tell you how worth Disney World is compared to its cost. So we're not going to talk about the cost of Disney. It is expensive. We had a bonus that we had some help being able to get in, which was huge for us, but I still think that our talk of Disney is relevant in terms of that and all the things that happened. And it was amazing.
It was awesome.
It was excellent. And there's no doubt that they do. Now, I know it's like the happiest place on earth or whatever. And that's cool. Like, that's a great slogan. And you're very happy when you're there. Like, it wasn't like people were upset or anything. But the part I loved was that just they went out of their way to make you feel special. Like, everybody was important who was there. And so they had, they're overstaffed. So there's always somebody to ask.
Yep.
It's a billion degrees in July there, although it was cooler there than in Connecticut, but whatever. And you walk by a gift shop, and there's just cool air blowing into the street, like yeah, welcoming you in. Now, obviously, it's a great ploy for selling things, but it was just nice, like, to know you could duck into any shop.
And we did all the time.
And shade under... Like, there were roofs for every place you order from. Yep. You either go inside a restaurant to order.
Yeah.
It was never like a little shack like you'd see at a county fair and you right, stand out in the heat and wait 20 minutes to get food. You don't wait anywhere. Now, it's not true. If you want to get on a popular ride, you're going to wait a long time. But even still, they have fast passes. I know to most people this is like, yeah, obviously, we've been to a ton of theme parks, and we haven't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get these fast passes, and you can just get on a ride in 5 minutes. I mean, maybe 10 if it's busy, but it's really just 5. And it was just excellent. So, again, just slightly relating this to retail, I just went post coming back from this trip to, like, reface our and restock our shelves. And I'm yep, super excited about it at the portal. Like, I feel like... Like, there's now this perception, like, oh, the portal has everything, right?
Yeah.
And things are facing out. Like, I try to think like somebody walking in for the first time, you know? And Disney definitely thinks about that.
Yeah.
You're here for the first time, and it's important, and what's going to be good, and what's going to keep you happy. So we're going to keep you out of the sun, and keep you shaded, and give you air, and all these things. So. Yep. That
something
was just amazing to me.
That really struck me was they got very creative with the lines. Because I've been to Six Flags, I guess is the biggest amusement park I've been to before Disney. And you go through the back and forth lines with, like, made up with posts and...
Chains
and or whatever. And they could be under a shade or not, but you're just back and forth. In Disney, you are in these super long lines, but it's almost like you're walking through a museum in a lot of rides. Mm-hmm. Particularly in Ariel, that was the first ride we actually went on.
Yep.
Right when we got there, because the wait was super short. But you're completely walking through... the grotto into the caves, and it's just scenery all around you. You don't even realize that you're in a line because you're just walking through. It's almost like a museum kind of thing. And it just made the wait much more pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they have Scuttle, the seagull.
Yep.
And he's talking to you. He's like an animatronic, and he talks to you. So, like, wherever you are in line, you feel like you're important.
Yeah, and
like
it's
like they want to keep you entertained, and it's part of the ride.
Yep.
And they know there's kids. Now, that line wasn't long. We basically just walked.
Right.
You know, but years ago when it was new, it was a long line. And
or
they don't,
in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Right, because yeah, it's cool down there. And then you get down there and you ride the ride, and it's just infinite seashells. It's just on a loop.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not infinite, but so you just keep getting, like, it just keeps filling, which was just super smart. Yeah. A lot of places don't do that. They have, like, a set of five, and then you wait, and a set of five, and then you wait.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they're Disney. They have the money. They have more money than they know what to do with. But it's still, it's just a smart, you know, system of just keeping people moving. That was the key to Disney.
That was intense. I never expected the, like, people mover walkway next to the ride. So the ride never completely stopped.
Yeah.
So many places, the people mover is just moving along at the same pace next to it. So you walk on that, and you're getting on the ride as it's moving.
Yep.
It
never stops.
So much more efficient.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And even just getting into the park, like, you go through the gate, and there's tons of lines, and then there's, like, 100 parking attendants.
Yep.
And a tram comes up, and then the next tram. Now, obviously, we're coming in right first thing in the morning, so it's tram after tram after tram. You get through, then it's security, like, 10,000 security gates, so you're not really held up. You know, you're always waiting for one or two people in front of you, like, one or two groups, and that's it.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, move to here, move to here. There's always somebody to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that staff is just over the top. You can't have that. We couldn't have that at the portal. We can't have 9 people working at the portal. We just can't pay that staff.
Right.
But they can, so they do, so that's what makes you feel so welcome.
Absolutely.
And it shows you how important, like, that human interaction is.
Yep.
Then you get on monorail. You can get on a ferry boat. That keeps moving. You know, you get there, then you're in line. So, and wherever you were, it was so neat. So, yeah, it was just great. So we'll just hit some highlights. Kathy talked about Arrow, which was the first ride that we went on, and the fast passes, and we were able to, like, kind of, like, queue up another one, so that was really fun. So this was a surprise for Zephra. She didn't know she was going to Disney World. We don't like to lie.
Right.
Nobody likes to lie to their kids, so I'm being very careful. But we didn't want to outright say, no, we're not going, but we said, well, it's expensive to get in, so we'll see. But then we got in, and so I didn't know that she would like roller coasters.
That was shocking to me.
So we went on Big Thunder Mountain, and it was her absolute favorite ride.
Oh, she was like over the moon when we got off of
that
ride.
Yeah, 2 thumbs up, picture
so
of her.
So excited.
Yeah, adorable. And so then I didn't get us into Space Mountain or Splash Mountain or anything else, so she was a little upset. But it was fine. There were so many things to go on. So I think we went on like basically everything else. Somebody would have to kind of be like, oh, did you go on this? Did you go on that? We went on the Speedway and Winnie the Pooh, and It's a Small World was just so cool. I mean, that
was really cool.
Old ride. But man, like, Disney just had this vision that still lasts today.
Yeah.
Maybe we're old souls. I think we are old souls. And we appreciate that. Like, I could see people, I guess, not appreciating it. But it was just so cool to go through land. Like, the song is annoying. Like, no doubt. But you don't care once you're in there. There's so much to look at. And that smell of, like, floating in water and fabric. I don't know. Whatever it was. And the height of it is just huge.
And just something happening everywhere you look. Mm-hmm. Like, there was nowhere that there wasn't something going on.
Yeah.
And also, Zephyr was super interested. What country is this one? What is this one? What is this one? As we went through... So that was really cool for her, too.
Yeah. So we hit all those big rides. So the one thing she seemed to want to do was go to this Be Our Guest restaurant.
Yep.
So I don't know when Disney started adding these. I'm sure they've been there for a long time. But kind of in corners of the park, they've added, like, sit down, go inside, you know, waiter, waitress restaurants. And so this one is the Beast's Castle from Beauty and the Beast. And from what people had told me or what we had heard, it was like, you gotta get reservations in advance and it's tough and good luck. Well, I, you know, the whole time I just had the mentality of, we just have to ask. And so I went up and they're like, well, we may have had a canceled reservation, so we may have a spot. Let me call in for you. Sure enough, if you'd like to go right now. So we went inside.
I feel like 10 minutes later, we were sitting at our table.
The place was gorgeous.
It was awesome.
It was like, we pull these giant wooden doors open to the castle and let you in. And your what is that? The maitre d'? I don't know the official term. Your hostess?
The host, yeah.
She, oh, here's the royal bathrooms, and here's the meeting room for the Beast, and this is this room, and here's information, and so-and-so will be with you. Like,
Yeah.
It was just so cool. And we sat in the dance hall.
The
ballroom where Belle and the Beast danced under the chandelier.
Yeah.
Like, and the giant chandeliers above us, and a window with, like, rain, or Zephyr said it was snowing
snow,
even.
Snow, yeah.
Like, and it was just gorgeous, and it was just, like, it was cool from the heat, so it was comfortable. Yeah. But it was, like, this warmth of being there. It was so nice.
It was awesome.
We'll tell the story for the waiter.
Oh, well, we were using the My Disney Experience app all day to find our way around the park and keep track of wait times for rides, which was a really cool feature of that. It was just right on the app. So, so we'd been using that a bunch, so our phones were dying. So we were sitting at our table, and we just happened to ask the waiter, is there a place we can charge our phones, or what should we do? And he was like, well, there isn't really in the restaurant. You can get these, you know, the
recharge sticks.
And then he was like, you know, actually, I have one in my bag downstairs. So if you wait a little bit, I can see if I get a chance to go down there and grab it. So a little while later, he comes back to our table, and he's got his own personal recharge stick that he just plugs my phone into, and he just lets us use that and got my phone through the rest of the day. It was just above and beyond, which was awesome. They were just so nice and helpful and friendly and didn't look down at us when we shared a meal and just ordered water. Like, they're perfectly fine and just awesome and gracious the whole time. And I can't have gluten, so I always feel like a pain at restaurants. But they were just so generous about it, and it was just a cool experience.
Yeah, it was like almost like they were excited when you said you couldn't have gluten. Like, oh!
We have things.
Right, exactly. We get to do this now, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness, we're playing this board game and we're unlocking this mode that only happens 1 in 7 games. And so it was like an exciting thing for them, right? As opposed to like, oh, one of those people, right?
Right, yeah.
It was cool. So, it was that much. You know, and Zephyr was the princess. And, you know, there's times where your kids don't need that, where it's too much. But there's times where it's super fun to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And this was one, so... Yeah, it was really neat. And then they wheel a dessert cart, like a full-on French-style dessert cart out.
It was pretty cool.
And show you all that and dress up. So Zephyr had a rose out of, like, you know, food color, whatever.
Raspberry and chocolate.
There you go. And Kathy got a Mickey Mouse heart on hers. And they, Kathy's just beaming right now. Just looking at her, she's just beaming. And theme parks are not your thing.
People
give you anxiety. Parks can give you anxiety.
Crowds.
People focusing on you is not your thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you loved it.
It was fun. I really did. It was way more than I was expecting to love it. And I was swept up in all of the magic of it.
And people, when we came back, asked us, like, how crowded is it? Well, no doubt there's tens of thousands of people there. But I only remember twice where it was like we had to stop moving to wait for, like, people to cross or stroll.
Yeah,
or it was like, just we got to a section that was so busy we couldn't move for 30 seconds.
Right.
But the whole rest of the time, you're just moving, moving. You're entertained.
Totally.
The Haunted Mansion's a great example. We look on the app, 30-minute wait. We get in line. We only waited 20 minutes.
Right.
So the wait times were always high, which is another great psychological thing.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff to do in line. Like, I don't ever remember Zephyr going, like, oh, I'm bored. She was never bored. She never said, I'm bored, let's stop, let's go home. She never wanted to go home.
Right.
I feel like our only bit of angst was the end of the evening waiting for the fireworks. And everybody goes to Main Street USA and shops. And that was our plan.
Yep.
And we kind of bounced into everybody. And then we had to wait for the fireworks.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. The fireworks were amazing.
Yep.
We got out on the first ferry where we stood.
Yeah.
And it was fine. And I was holding Zephra. And I felt the magic at that point. Like, here's my daughter. And I finally got her to Disney World, which was kind of her childhood dream. And we're watching the fireworks. And it was just super exciting.
It was really cool.
You know, like, there was definitely something magical, even though so many people do it. Like, suddenly it was our moment. It wasn't everybody else's moment. And so they really do a good job with that. And then the next day, we went to Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
And there was definitely like a step down, and I want to be really careful of making it.
I don't even know. Down like, is
lines were
different.
A little bit longer. There lines were quite longer. As many people to find.
It was hotter.
It was hotter that day. There's not as many things at Animal Kingdom. By all rights, Magic Kingdom should be the number one, and the others should be subsidiary to that, and they are, and it was fine.
Yep.
But it was great. It's not really like a safari animal place. Like, you can definitely see animals, and it's about animals, and there's, like, chimps or whatever, like, who are walk like around on places, but it's not like a zoo.
Right.
It's still rides and attractions and stuff. Pandora was gorgeous. I could have just walked through Pandora.
It was beautiful.
Which is based on Avatar, and now Zephyr wants to see the Avatar movie.
Yep.
Given that we've seen a bunch of Jurassic Parks, I think she can see these, like, pirates, Avatar, these PG-13 movies that are basically PG-13 for, like, violence and action. And I think she's okay with that. So I'm excited to show her these now. But Pandora was totally worth walking through. And the last ride we did was, well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Boom, straight off the bat, we went to Everest. Tell us about Everest.
Well, due to Zephyr's major enthusiasm over roller coasters on the first day, we were like, well, we have to get into Everest. We didn't have a fast pass for it. But because of the popularity of the Avatar ride, which we did not get to do, as soon as we walked in the park, everybody went there. So the wait for Everest was like, was it like 10 minutes?
Yeah, we probably actually waited 10 minutes on that ride.
Yeah.
But again, it was a museum in there.
Right. Right. Oh, it was amazing walking through. So we went straight there.
She had no hesitation.
She was none at all. And this is our afraid to sleep in her room at night anxiety girl. and so her love of roller coasters was actually shocking to us.
It was shocking.
And awesome. it was a great surprise.
I think we can't spoil Everest for people who might go.
That's true.
Part of Everest is the oh wow factor, so we'll be careful.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah.
When we got off, she was a bit shell-shocked. It was an adult roller coaster. Mm-hmm. She's 8. She enjoyed it. I think it was actually the more theatrical aspects of it.
Right.
That scared her than the actual ride itself.
It was a great coaster.
It was great.
I haven't ridden roller. Now, this is like youth leader at church, gone to Six Flags, like you said, and other theme parks way too many times. Ridden every giant roller coaster in the Northeast area at 20 to 25 years old. And then suddenly, 10 years later, fat, lazy family guy. Like, oh my gosh, do I still like roller coasters? Man, do I like roller coasters.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was super fun. So definitely go on it. Don't be hesitant. It was great.
Yep.
We were told it was the best coaster around and, you know, in Disney parks, and it was excellent. So we'll leave it at that. The spoils aren't spoiled. You probably, if you're interested in roller coasters, already know what happens on Everest. But it's worth not telling you in terms of that. But yeah, Zephyr was, she was okay with not riding another roller coaster after. But man, was I proud of her for getting on that thing with no hesitation. And she never on anything said, I want to get off this ride.
Never.
Even we went on Dinosaur, which was super loud and scary.
Yeah.
And she
things
just didn't like
out
the loud.
At you.
She just didn't like the loud.
Right.
It was much. I would imagine, unless you just have like a gung-ho. Like, if kids like dinosaurs, it's irrelevant on this ride because it's all about the scare factor.
Yep.
And move high levels of movement.
Movement, yeah.
But she just didn't like the loud. She never was like, I want to get off this ride. The girl behind us, who was like 4, I thought was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Or whatever. She was panicking. But Zephyr was fine. She just didn't like the loud. And then she's like, I kind of liked it. It was just loud. So, yeah, that was fun. The Lion King show was amazing.
Awesome.
It was really good, really interactive. The Nemo show was really good. We caught the end. We sat in a bad seat. But it was good to get tired out of the weather. We were tired, but Nemo was really good. So I would like the show. Don't miss the shows.
Yeah,
they're real good. They're worth it. They're worth the downtime.
Yeah,
the coolness.
Yeah,
and all that.
The tiki room we saw.
Well, now you're going back a day.
That's true.
Tiki 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 tiki. I totally remember that from being 5 years old.
That's really funny.
That, and we went to a party today with my mom, and what did she ask? Did you go to the tiki room? Mm. That was always her favorite. So I think we did that multiple times when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
In the day. I loved that song, but it showed its age.
The songs were like
real 50s Disney.
Yeah.
I still have a soft spot for those 50s and 60s Absolutely, Disney. Absolutely. Well, Jungle Book is my favorite. And it definitely has a Jungle Book feel.
Yeah.
In those songs, so. All right, Navi River Ride. Oh, we did the Collie Rapids.
Oh, yeah.
There was a good drop on that.
It was fun.
Sorry to spoil it for people. I don't think that's a spoiler.
That's not really.
We had a, what do you think that boy was, four? Four and a half?
Maybe.
Maybe five? And he was nervous about a big drop, and boy, did I lie to him. We're going up. It, you know, it's one of these 12-person tubes. You're going to get wet on the ride. Getting wet was great.
I wanted to get wet.
Yeah, they had lockers.
It was so hot that day.
So it was good. And I thought you weren't going to. The first couple splashes,
I know,
you got
like,
nothing.
Oh, no.
And, but then eventually you did. And the guy on our ride, I don't think he spoke English because I kept trying to joke with him. But he had a camera he was filming on his phone. Oh, and he never got wet.
Right.
So we're going up the hill on this 12-person tube, and I was like, he's like scared, like we're going to drop immediately. And I was like, I think it's just bringing us up so it can kind of like spin us around. Like you have to go downhill, right?
Right.
Like to have speed and everything. So I totally lied to this kid. And all this, like, and then it was just, we bounced around. We did like a tiny little drop. It was fun. Everybody's laughing. And I thought the ride was over. And all of a sudden, I don't remember who said it, but either Zephyr or you saw it and were like, oh gosh. And all of a sudden you just see, like, it looks like a waterfall dropping off. And yeah. I thought it was a serious drop. Now, once we actually hit it.
It wasn't that big.
It was probably a 45 degree angle, and it was really like a rubber slide.
Yeah.
It was, on a 12-person tube, it was pretty intense. We probably dropped, what, 40 feet, 45 feet?
I don't know.
That's a pretty good drop. In a tube. And when we hit the bottom, there was a big splash.
Yeah.
I felt really bad. I blatantly lied to that kid. I really thought it was just going to be something calm and casual.
It was fine, though.
No, it really was, and he was fine, but
it was really fun. It was good on that day.
And then we finished with the Navi
River
Rapids. So.
It wasn't rapids.
Sorry, River Ride.
I think something like that. But it was so beautiful. It was from, it was in Pandora, in the land of Avatar, and it was just gorgeous. Like, it was a nice, it was kind of with between Ariel and the Navi River Ride. Those were the, like, really nice bookends for the trip.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
if you want to be calm, those are two good calm, like, yeah.
Yeah.
This was super calm.
It was very calm.
This was like yoga meditation calm.
Yeah, and then just everything around you was just gorgeous. So it was nice. It was nice and cool and dark, and it was nice to get out of the hot and just sit and, yeah, it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we headed out, you know, a little bit early from the end of the day. I guess there's like a it's not a fireworks show. It's like a light show, like over the water. But we couldn't do another day of hanging out and getting out super busy. And
you had
and
to
we
wake Zephyr up that morning.
Right.
Which is huge.
I've never woken her up.
There's like three times in her 8 years that we've had to wake her up for anything.
Yeah, when we went to Washington, D.C., she like insisted that when you take a car ride, you leave in the middle, you know, when it's dark.
Like, yeah.
So we left at 4 a.m., for no reason other than to appease her.
And miss some traffic.
Miss some traffic in New York City. We were at the zoo at 10:30 in the morning. In D.C. But even still, I guess I woke her up there, but she was ready to go. But this one, I like woke her up. Like, you have to get up, and it's time to go. So.
Yeah, so we couldn't go through.
So we didn't do Hollywood Studios. We didn't do Epcot. We can't comment on those. We did run through Disney Springs.
Yeah.
Which is this whole section. It's, you know, it's a whatever outlet mall you have near you, it's that times seven plus House of Blues, Coca-Cola, like all the big name stores yeah. and restaurants are there.
Very upscale. With Disney Shop.
Yeah. But it was beautiful.
It was very beautiful.
We parked on the far end. Zephyr ripped her foot open. We had to buy bandages.
Bleeding all
tried,
over
and
the place.
It was the end of our trip, so we didn't quite get the joy that maybe
hot.
An afternoon there would do.
Yeah. Or an evening.
An evening.
An adult evening would be really fun.
Oh, an adult
there.
Evening and an opportunity to eat at one of the restaurants
yeah.
would be glorious, I would imagine. But we didn't have that opportunity, but it was
right.
still nice.
But it was nice.
In terms of all that.
I would go there.
So.
Again.
Disney World is an absolute two thumbs up. The way they handle people is something that I wish the portal that will strive towards.
Yeah.
Right? Again, money makes a big difference. With all that money that they're making and they have, they can do a premium experience. We can't tell you based on cost whether this will be worth it for you, but if it's something that cost-wise you can swing, it will be. I don't know. What do you think? 60% of the people listening to this have probably been to Disney World, so we don't not telling them anything new.
Right.
but yeah, it was excellent. And for people who aren't into consumerism, which is ironic being on a game podcast, I suppose, because I absolutely believe that games are a luxury item, and I could take the games I have and play them every day and be super happy, as Vassal will always say. I always want to be careful of new, hot, great. But, you know, not being part of that, like, you must spend money to have fun or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great place to go. And
yeah.
much needed for our family.
Yeah.
Much needed vacation and yep. a respite from a lot of stuff that's not been so good. And whatnot. And just to see your face and Zephyr's face light up all the time, I know for me it was just pure joy.
Yeah, it was super fun.
All that. And before I get too sappy, I think that we will say goodbye and end this episode. I don't know. I mean, I like listening to this stuff on Rotto and on other people and Heavy Cardboard who open up about, you know, their lives and whatnot, but we're not quite on that level, so we'll go there. But yeah. So that was Disney World. That was our Dice Tower Con recap. I felt like the biggest read on the whole thing was Kathy kind of saying, like, this is definitely something we would consider doing next year in terms of that. You know, the repeat vacation
yes.
is always kind of the greatest level of that was really fun.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed our DC trip that we did last year, but this one topped it. So,
yeah,
totally.
In terms of that.
All right, well, that's it for episode 94, our Dice Tower Con and Disney World 2018 recap episode. And until next time, I am the Brant.
And I'm Kathy.
And we hope you step